Hello and welcome to the Caplow TV Saratoga Preview. Mike Callahan alongside me, Sully Crotty. What's going on, Sully?
Mike, how you doing? Obviously, a new podcast we're doing. It's a very exciting one because it's Saratoga. It's finally here. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that it's here. We talk about it each and every time. The premier meet, 40 days of racing. And myself, yourself, a lot of people are saving money at this point, you know, waiting for the Saratoga meet. We went through the Triple Crown. Now we're looking for angles. We're looking for situational things. We're going to try to spot some jockeys, spot some trainers. We're going to go over a lot of stats in this Saratoga preview, give our predictions at the end of what we think is going to happen here in 2019, and review a lot of 2018, because after we dissected a lot of these stats, there are some angles that you're going to want to take a look at, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit. But just talk about Saratoga, and I know you live up there, you know, how it's 40 days, and people who love the sport like we do, obviously, it's like Christmas to us. But just up in Saratoga, it just completely changes up there.
It does. It's a very special meet, and, you know, there's only a few other meets I can think of off the top of my head that are as special and have so much history behind it, and it's probably, if not one of the most popular meets of the year around the country, and everyone looks forward to Saratoga. People from all over the country come, and it's a fantastic 40 days, and the 40 nights are also a lot of fun as well. Just the whole experience, you know, there's not any other track that has that type of experience like Saratoga, not just from the racing side, but the town and the people that come in, it brings a lot of energy, and it's obviously, like you said, it is like Christmas to us from the Capital Region, and a lot of people from out of town, it's like Christmas to them as well.
Absolutely, and we know a lot of trainers, they talk about it all the time, targeting their horses. You know, you have 2-year-olds each and every year that stamp themselves with huge performances in their maiden victories. You know, we have the older horses that come into town, and we get great stakes racing. Now, for us as bettors, and that's what we're going to be talking about when we're trying to find stats, you know, it's really around making money. That's what, you know, everybody's in it here for, listening to the podcast right now. It's about making money. So trying to find those stats, trying to find those horses that come in out of town, trying to find those jockeys that come in for maybe 5 or 6 races, but they win 3 or 4. You know, Money Mike, who does it all the time. But you have Frankie Pennington, who came in last year, who's normally a Parks rider, rides down there. You know, you had Brian Hernandez Jr., who normally rides out in the Midwest. He came in for 3 victories last year. So there are a lot of angles you can go at. It's just trying to find and spot the horses each and every day, and of course, make money in the bankroll. So we're going to talk about the jockeys first. We'll lead into the trainers next. We'll talk about some post positions. We'll talk about our own wagering strategies going into it as well. We have Tom Amello, who's going to be doing a podcast, you know, on multiple ways that you can wager. He's going to do 7 specific detailed strategies about that. So definitely listen to his podcast as well. But we will kick it off right now with the jockeys. We're going to take a look at the 2018 meet of last year. And obviously it was dominated by 4 to 5 jockeys. It was Rod Ortiz getting the jockey title, winning 52 times last year, was in the money 50%. You had Javier Castellano, who had 43 wins. Just behind him was Jose Ortiz, who had 42. Manny Franco with 35. Luis Saez with 33. You kind of see, you know, the dominant jockeys that are normally on the circuit kind of established themselves early during Saratoga last year. But you did have some those second-tier jockeys that were really good as well. So what kind of stands out for you as far as just the overall jockey standings from last year?
Well, it's really not a huge surprise. I mean, Irad came in last year from winning the Belmont meet, and his brother won the year before at Saratoga and won the Belmont spring meet as well. The one interesting thing is it very rarely, and it hasn't happened in a few years, does a jockey defend his title at Saratoga. That's how competitive of a race it is. And as you said, there's the dominant guys, we all know who they are, and then there's the middle tier guys as well. But the one thing that's interesting in New York this year, and I know a lot of those top tier guys leave for the winter, but they're all back in the spring, and there's a lot of good jockeys that stayed in New York in the winter that are leading the Belmont meet going into Saratoga. Jose Lascano has been riding out of his mind down in New York. Kendrick Carmouche as well. Dylan Davis has been riding extremely well. So going in, I think it's a lot more competition than what we've seen last year. And then you got to think about Luis Saez as well. Luis Saez is coming into the Saratoga meet after a fantastic Gulfstream meet. And now he's had a really nice Belmont meet as well. He's chasing, he was chasing the entire way for the title. He's been on fire the last 3 weeks down there. So it's really interesting where the jockeys stand going into this meet.
Yeah, I think that's the dark horse as far as who you think is going to win the jockey title. Obviously, the big three to four are going to be vying for favoritism as far as ultimately winning that jockey title. But I think Luis Saez, who's just been absolutely on fire, we've seen it down at Belmont. He's rolled off four victories plus in a single card multiple times. And I just think he's trending on the right side of things, and he may be one that could surprise a lot of people. I mean, he was 20 off the pace last year as far as winning that jockey title. He had 33 to Ryder Tease's 52. But I just think the way that things are trending now, that don't take anything away from those top three, they are still going to get their wins. As far as in the money, they're about 50% each time. So whether you like them or not, I know the odds are probably going to be short because they are big names and they're riding for big barns. But they are going to be in the money, and they're going to be serious players as well. But let's kind of dive into the stats as far as the jockeys on the main track, because I think this is where you start to see some notable stats kind of stand out. And the fact that Joel Rosario was unbelievable when it came to main track comparative to the turf. 19 of his 27 wins came on the dirt, 57.6 as far as in the money. I think, obviously, if you're looking at it as far as the jockey goes, you definitely want Joel on the dirt comparative to the turf.
Yeah, and that's always what you think of, you know, especially up at Saratoga the last couple of years, is Joel. Those route races, especially on the dirt, and in this year alone, last year he was good with really good with the route races, but this year alone, from Gulfstream to Kentucky Circuits to Belmont, he's been doing really well with the sprints on the main track, and that's something that you could look forward to going into the Saratoga meet, because some of the sprint races, Joel last year won 18, so he had a good meet as well on the sprint. So 18 of his 19 wins on the main track were sprints. So I just think that he's a type of guy that now he can round out and go with the route races. We saw it at Belmont, and his sprint numbers are really just fantastic. But he's one of those guys that has always been one of those really good dirt riders, and I definitely see that happening again in Saratoga.
Yeah, same kind of trend you think with Ricardo Santana. He had 18 victories on the main track. Total-wise, he had 24, so 18 of his 24 were on the dirt. Makes a lot of sense. I know you like sprint racing as well. You just sort of think of it. You think Ricardo Santana Jr. teaming up with Steve Asmussen. They did it in the Met Mile with Mattioli. He's one that comes in from out of town. You know, people know him on the NIRA circuit, especially when he comes up to Saratoga and he does so well. And he does well on live long shots. That's where I think a lot of people are going to want to get some value out of this, because if he's coming in 7-8-1, and maybe you don't know the name as prominent as, you know, Joel or Javier or Rod, just because they're on the NIRA circuit so much, the fact that Ricardo Santana is 18 for 24 on the dirt kind of leads you in that direction.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Ricardo and Steve Asmussen. You know, that's his go-to guy, and a lot of trainers have their go-to guys, and they've had 1,000 mounts this year, and they've won 23% of them. That's unbelievable there. And he wins, as you said. If it's not Steve Asmussen, sometimes his value does go up a little bit, and we saw that opening week. He had 4 winners last year, and all of them were over 5-1. So, and that was not with Steve Asmussen. So I just think Ricardo is coming in from a really nice down in Kentucky. He ran really well. Oaklawn, he ran really well. And he did the same thing. He won the Oaklawn meet and brought it to Saratoga and had a really nice meet last year. So I just think Ricardo, if he's not with Steve Asmussen, his horses are always alive. And even when he is with Steve Asmussen, as I said, 23% and 1,000 starts up to date so far this racing year.
And now here's a huge stat as far as a hot stat goes. I'm not sure how much David Cullen's going to ride. I know he rode a lot last year on the NIRA circuit. He had 95 mounts on the main track. He won 16 of those. He won 16 of his 17 races on the main track. I think that goes a long way, especially if you're looking for that stat. If you see a David Cullen mount, where do you want to lead towards? You're definitely going to want to lead towards the main track.
Yeah, you are. And I just remember him last year. Him and Robertino Diodoro won a ton of races. So you would have to think a really good percentage of those 17 wins had to be with Robertino Diodoro, and they did extremely well down in Oaklawn this year. And kind of the same stat, Junior Alvarado as well had 16 wins on the main track, compared to, he had 21 overall wins at the meet. So Junior's another guy. He's much like David Cohen. He gets the job done on the main track. So you got to think some of those horses are always going to be live as well. But if you see a David Cohen, Robertino Diodoro, jockey trainer combination on the main track, usually that horse will run a big number.
Yeah, I just thought it was one of those stats that just wowed you, because you definitely think of David Cohen and Robertino Diodoro. Diodoro comes in with some live horses each time. You know, he targets some of his horses for Saratoga and does well each and every time. Be interested to see if David Cohen, who's been riding out in the Midwest, decides to come back here with Robertino Diodoro. And he had a really good Saratoga last year, winning 17, 19 second place finishes, 17 third. So he just had an overall outstanding meet. I know he's going to feel high from last year's performance and want to come back and validate that as well. So we'll see what happens for him. As far as a downward trend goes, because we've given you a lot of positive stats so far, the fact that Julian, now I think 2018 as far as that goes overall for Julian LaPerouse would probably be a little bit forgettable, because he was 4 for 82 overall, but he was 1 for 30 on the main track. Now Julian, I know a lot of people think of him as a turf rider and a front end rider as well. He likes to slow down the pace and he can get the job done, and Julian is a very good jockey. I just think he had a tough meet last year. Maybe it's a trend that maybe some people are going to throw out, but for me anyway, when we're going to see a main track horse, the fact that he was 1 for 30 last year, maybe I'm looking a different way.
Yeah, and as you just said it right there, it's you think of Julian Leper, you think of a turf horse, and two of his four wins were on the same horse with Glorious Empire last year, in the Sword Dancer, and then he had a dead heat. I forget, the Bowling Green, he had a dead heat. With Channel Maker. So he's a really good turf rider, but that's just one of those things where most likely you don't see him ride usually well on the main track, and he's been doing better this year. And you know, at Keeneland he does really well on the turf, and all the other Kentucky circuits he's been doing better on the main track. So hopefully he can kind of string together a couple more wins, because when he wins, they're usually very, very good prices. So.
That's what I was just going to say, because Glorious Empire, if I remember, upset, and then upset again when he dead-heated with Channel Maker. So the fact that he did win four, he was on some big prices of those four. So you're only going to be able to catch him once, and you're going to make a lot of money. So, and also the fact that he did finish second 10 times and third 10 times. You know, he's sort of knocking on the door each and every time. I just think it's one of those forgettable years. I think he's going to have a much better year. And it depends on how many mounts he gets up here. But, you know, we'll see how it ends up for him. I just think it's going to be more of a positive year in 2019 for him.
Yeah, it should be. And the same thing with Thoron Drew. He was 1 for 23 on the main track. He had four wins last year in 55 mounts. And he's been riding extremely well. And you think of Thoron Drew, you think of Brad Cox, and he did win with Modern Way Girl, but he did win with some other trainers when he did have those Brad Cox mounts. So I want to say two of his four were with Brad, the other two weren't. And it's same kind of trend with Julian LaPerouse. He was 1 for 23 on the main track, Florent Giroux was.
Yeah, so that's kind of our stats as far as the main track goes. Anything else to add as far as the jockeys on the main track?
But I personally love betting Dylan Davis on the main track. I think he's always live. He always rides his horses extremely hard. He puts them in good spots as well. And this whole racing year, he's been doing extremely well in New York. And he's a hometown guy. He's from Saratoga. He went to Saratoga High School. So it'd be great to see him have another really nice meet and continue his riding, successful riding that we've seen him have this year in New York. So I think it'd be great if he can keep his momentum going into Saratoga. And he usually does get big prices home, and he rides extremely hard on the main track. Last year, Dylan Davis on the main track, he had seven wins, but he was in the money 36% of his starts. So he's always got some live horses. He rides hard for the trainers. So I think it'd be great if he keeps this momentum going into Saratoga.
Absolutely. And right below him, as I'm looking at it right now, Joe Bravo, Jersey Joe. Six wins and 31 mounts in the money, 55%. So he's always coming up here with some live runners. If he's in a race, yeah, definitely have to take a look at it, because he's probably going to be a serious player in each and every race that he's up here. So limited mounts of only 31, but the fact that he's always live, you're definitely going to want to take a look at him on both surfaces. So that's our look at jockeys on the main track. We'll transition now to the turf as we take a look at jocks, and what stands out for you here? I mean, the logicals are up, right up front. You have Rod Ortiz with 26 wins, Jose Ortiz with 21, Javier with 20. If you're comparing them to their overall jockey, they're pretty 50-50. They're good on both surfaces, and obviously that's what they're going to be happy about is the fact that they can run on both main and the turf. I know that Arad loves the turf, and the 26 shows it of his 52, but that's dead even. You know, that's literally half of what he won. So what stands out for you here? I mean, as far as a positive trend, the top five seem to rule the realm on the turf. So.
Yeah, and another jockey that is splitting the main track and the turf, and he did that at Belmont, the Belmont Spring Summer Meet. He had completely even split last year going into Saratoga, and he was one race off from even split, and that's Manny Franco. Manny had 17 wins on the turf, in the money 41% of his time, and when he gets to the lead, he's as good as Irad and Jose when he can really slow down on the front end on these turf routes. So Manny's another jockey, that is just like Irad. He can win on the turf, he can win on the dirt, and he's very, very balanced when he does it, and he gets good mounts and good prices home. So, you know, Irad, usually he's with Chad. Chad's going to get hammered on the turf, and deservingly so. He's having an unbelievable year. He always has an unbelievable Saratoga. But Manny's another one of those guys that always could be live on the dirt or on the turf, and it showed last year, and it has been showing this year as well.
Yeah, and just take a look at one jockey as I'm looking at it, and it's a little bit more of a downward trend, and it could just have been that 2018 didn't go his way, but Junior Alvarado had five wins last year on the turf. He had 21 overall. So the fact that 16 of them were on the main track, five were on turf, maybe you're looking a little bit a different way. Again, it's only a one-year sample. It's not like we're looking at a five-year sample. Could have just been that it was a little bit of a 2018 downward trend, but he can regain himself. He was 16% in the money in those turf races. I think he's going to want to redeem himself in 2019.
Yeah, you would definitely think so. So, and he's having another really good meet. That's what's going to be very competitive about Saratoga. You got normal Naira guys coming in, and I don't think it's going to be as one-sided. I don't think a jockey's going to win the riding title by nine races like we saw last year with Irad. So I just think it's a lot more competitive. And as you said, it's just a small sample size from last summer. We're just reading these stats off. So, I just think it's a wide open race this year, and you're going to have your top guys, and I think he could potentially get up there.
And here's a stat right here as you're taking a look at Tyler Gaffalione. Only five mounts, no wins, and none in the top three on the turf. He is one that has skyrocketed since last year. I know he had the big win with War of Will. The fact that he's run terrific, especially down at Gulfstream during the Champions Meet, I think he's going to have a ton more mounts, and I think he's going to have a lot of wins.
Yeah, that'd be a really nice jockey to get up in New York. I mean, I know he does it really well at the Gulfstream Summer Meet, and we'll see if he comes up to the Naira Circuit to run every day, and I think that'd be great for him because, as you said, he has skyrocketed this year. He won the Keeneland Fall Meet, went to the Championship Meet, ran absolutely out of his mind, and then went to Keeneland again, almost defended his Fall Meet in the spring. So he's been riding extremely well, and as you said, picked up a Preakness win with War of Will.
Yeah, he was racing Mondays and Wednesdays last year up at Saratoga, sort of getting his feelers out there. But I think, and you're right, because there's a lot of money to be made down at Gulfstream, and the fact that he is the top jock down there, I think he's going to want to tussle with the big boys in here, especially the way he's been trending. He's got a lot of confidence right now, and deservedly so. I think he's going to be one that you want to take a look at as far as across the board completely. But I think he's going to skyrocket as well. Any more thoughts as far as the turf goes?
And not really. The one thing that you gotta love about the turf racing is the fields are always deep, and the races are always a blanket finish. There's about six or seven horses within a length and a half from each other on the turf, and that's what makes it great, and that's what makes turf racing very, very competitive.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the sprints as far as the jocks go. Some things that stand out, Ricardo Santana, 19 of 24 of his wins were sprinting. You take a look at Joel, 18 of his 27 were sprinting. You take a look at Eric Consell, five of his six wins were sprinting. You take a look at Joe Bravo. He had six of his eight wins were sprinting. So there's a lot of trends that you can go at as far as sprinting goes. And you know, which one do you like the most?
Another one, it was Kendrick was 10 of his 13
there
wins
you go.
The sprint. So the sprints are always more competitive, especially in deeper fields, and then these baby races as well. And the 7 furlongs out of the chute are always competitive, and that's how it should be. I think the sprint races should always be competitive, but the one thing that I know we're going to talk about later is the post positions. Coming in from Belmont, the rail has been extremely good. And then last year, the sprint races, the number one was winning 13%, the number five, 15%. So the rail was racing pretty well last year as well. And in, Belmont has had a golden rail as well. So the sprint races have been doing have always been very competitive in New York, and I don't see that changing this summer.
Yeah, and just one last stat to read off. Brian Hernandez Jr. came into town. Again, we're always thinking of those jockeys that come into town for maybe one or two mounts on the day. But obviously they have live mounts if they're coming in for that. Brian Hernandez Jr., all three of his wins were sprinting. So it's one of those where you're just taking a look at a jock, seeing him come into town, the fact that he does like to sprint comparative to route. I mean, those are things you're going to want to take a look at, especially when you're trying to ration out your bankroll. So any more thoughts on the sprints?
No, it's just besides the turf routes, I think the sprints are a lot of fun to bet, and they're always very competitive.
I'll take a look at the distance races as far as the jockeys go. Just reading it off. You know, obviously we talked about Ricardo Santana and his hot stats. The fact that he does like to sprint, but conversely, only 5 for 24 as far as routes go. So, you know, we want to give you a lot of hot trends, but we also want to show you maybe some ways and angles to kind of point against and try to find some value, because you know that you're going to be able to maybe find a little bit better angles as far as statistics go anyway with some other jockeys. Where you have Kendrick, 3 of his 13, because you talked about 10 of his 13 were sprinting, only 3 of his 13 were distance races that he was able to win. So, you know, you're taking a look at it. Joe Bravo, 2 for 22. Julian LaPerouse, 2 for 45. So that, you know, maybe a little bit of different angle. Again, when we were talking about the big ones, Arad, Javier, Jose, Manny, it seems like they're 50-50 on pretty much anyway as far as surfaces go, as far as sprint and distance races go. So really not much to talk about with those guys.
No, and another thing, Florent only had 4 wins. 3 of them were a route race. So that's when you think of Florent, you think of route races, and it showed, even though he had minimal wins last year, 3 of them were route races, and that's what you think of when you think of Florent Giroux.
All right, we will transition now to trainers, and we'll talk about, obviously, the big names, Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, Steve Asmussen, Kieran McLaughlin, Jeremiah Engelhart round out the top 5 from 2018. You had 70 starts from Chad Brown, 17 on the main track. Todd Pletcher, 87 starts, 14 on the main track. Steve Asmussen, 55, 10 wins. You had Kieran McLaughlin, only 29 starts and 10 wins. That's where it's very sneaky. The fact that he has a small sample, but he's still able to get the job done in the money, 55%. And then how about Jeremiah Engelhart rounding off the top 5? 9 wins and 55 starts. Definitely like to see that. Again, these are all main track as far as that goes, but a lot of positive stats. Even Gary Contessa, who's in the top 7, I believe, he's 8 wins and 60 starts. 11 second place finishes, 13 third place finishes, in the money, 53.3%. That's very high for Gary Contessa.
Yeah, it is. And he's been, you know, he had a really good meet last year, Gary Contessa did. And one trainer that I think you need to look at the early 2 to 3 weeks, is Kieran McLaughlin. He does extremely well in the first couple weeks, and then he kind of spaces his mounts out. That's why you're only seeing 29 starts on the main track, or 29 starts for Kieran McLaughlin on the main track. He does extremely well the first couple of weeks, but when you think of Belmont, you think of turf, and that's kind of what you're seeing as well. He had 8 wins on the main track and 60 starts, and then on the turf, Belmont, he had 6 wins, so in 30 starts. So I think, you know, those are the type of trends you need to look at. I think Belmont is doing much better with the main tracks, but the trends were kind of true last year when it came to trainers.
Yeah, some that kind of wowed me a little bit when I was going back and look at this was Brad Cox, 3 for 22 on the main track. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been a little bit higher. Obviously, he's a huge notable name now. He's got Owendale, who's terrific. I know you're very high in him and just won the Ohio Derby out there. So I think he's won. Was in the money 59%. So I will not, you know, it wasn't like his horses weren't running at all. It was just the fact that they were running second and third a lot. The fact they only got to the winner's circle 3 times on the main track, I think that's going to go up. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be one that you want to take a look at. Bob Baffert came in 3 for 5. That's really no shock to anybody, right? In the money, 60%, he always comes with live horses. And then how about Mark Cassie? Yeah. Mark Cassie's been really, really doing well in 2019. And the fact that he was only 2-for-34 as far as wins goes, did have those 10 second place finishes, was in the money 47%. That, to me, is going to change because his barn has been tearing down the doors lately.
Yeah, then I'm glad you brought up Mark Cassie. I was going to pull that one up if you didn't say anything. And as you, he has been doing extremely well this year, and that is a very surprising stat. It's still hard to believe he was 2-for-34 last year. And as you said, the 10 places do stand out. And the other trainer I was going to bring up coming in from last year, came in from in a really nice Belmont meet, was Michelle Nevin. She was only 3-for-30 on the main track, but she also had 9 places, 46% in the money. So the horses were running well. It's just, it's kind of surprising seeing her coming in from a really good Belmont meet last year, only having 3 wins and 30 starts.
Yeah, and then you have some out-of-town trainers that you're going to want to take a look at. You know, you have some Ian Wilkes, a couple wins. You had Larry Ravelli, who came in with some nice horses. He had a couple wins and 7 starts. You had Dallas Stewart come in, have a couple victories. Again, these out-of-towners, the fact that they're coming in with some horses. And you want to take a look down with the some trainers that have maybe only 1 start, but they won. You have, you know, Deborah Breed, Ralph D'Alessandro. You have these 1-for-1 trainers that come in with 1 horse. Maybe they go off at 9-to-1. Maybe you're able to collect. But these out-of-town trainers are definitely, you're going to want to take a look at them.
Yeah, you are, and they're here for a reason. They're here to win these type of races and win at Saratoga. So the out-of-town trainers usually have, obviously they have smaller starts, but they usually run competitive and their horses run really big. And one of the trainers that's towards the top of the list, 5 wins on the main track and 11 starts, was Anthony Cordarolo. He came in from Churchill Downs. He had really nice wins for Lou Tracing, and that's kind of continued as well. So we'll see if Anthony Cordarolo can kind of keep that momentum going from last year. And then Ray Handel as well. Ray Handel, it was 8-for-14 in the money and had 4 wins. And I want to say 3 of those 4 paid over $15. So I think Ray Handel, he's had a nice Belmont meeting in the Saratoga as well. So a lot of these jockeys that don't get, trainers that don't get a lot of mounts, when they have or a lot of starts, when their horses make these starts, they're usually very competitive, and that's why you're seeing their in-the-money percentage at such a high number.
Yeah, there's just their stats galore, and just taking a look at it, you can see the angles that you want to play, and hopefully they're profitable in 2019. So that's a look at trainers on the main track. We'll take a look at the turf, and there's one notable name, and it's no shock to anybody, with Chad Brown having 101 turf starts, and he had 29 wins, 21 second-place finishes, 16 third-place finishes. It's just... there's no one even close to him as far as wins goes. It's 29, second place is 7, third place is 6, and then all the way down. But it's sort of Chad's world on the turf, and we're all just living in it.
It is, and it's been that way for quite some time. And now there's some more trainers that that I think will have better numbers this year on the turf. Joe Sharp being one of them, and he actually did well in his 16 starts. He had 6 wins, was in the money exactly 50% of the time, but his turf horses down in Louisiana were doing extremely well, so I expect him to make the most of his starts. But it's tough to catch Chad on the front end when he's got more wins than most of these trainers have starts. So 101 is a ridiculous amount of starts on the turf for 1 summer and 40 days. He made the most of it, winning 65% of them.
Yeah, I think the most shocking thing was, if you had to give us 10 guesses as far as what trainer finished second behind Chad Brown, I mean, our first guess probably would have been Bill Mott, right? Mm-hmm. And he did. He finished third just behind the second place trainer, but it was Jorge Abreu.
Yeah.
Jorge Abreu with
worked
7.
For Chad Brown.
Yeah, exactly. He says 7 wins and 35 starts, and he was in the money 57% of the time. Good for him. It was a great 2018 for him. I hope 2019 is just as good. And I bet you some of those horses had some very good value. So go back, take a look at those Jorge Abreu horses from 2018. And I know he has a lot of confidence from that 2018 meet coming into 2019. So definitely take a look at those. Todd Pletcher had 5-41. So maybe not the most overwhelming stat. Obviously, people think of Todd Pletcher. They think of 2-year-old first-time starters. He's obviously going to have his wins everywhere. But, you know, most specifically, that's the way that people are going to trend it. But Joe Sharp ones. A pretty good stat, 6-for-16,
because
that's a very small sample, and the fact that his horses were completely live is terrific to see. So we'll, you know, take a look at that. George Weaver with 5 wins and 28 starts. Mm-hmm. The fact that he was in the money 42 times, he was up there as far as the trainers on turf go. And yeah, you just you take a look at. I think one of the most surprising downward stats was Graham Motion, 1 for 33.
Yeah, that was one of the two surprising ones that I was going to bring up. Graham Motion. You know, you think of Graham Motion, you think of the turf. And he was 1 for 33, but he had 7 seconds and 7 thirds. The other one I thought was really surprising, and it will surprise me if it repeats because of the Belmont meet he's having, is Christophe Clement. He was 2 for 26, and he's usually lights out on the turf with his horses. I don't think that's going to happen again from the, because of what we're seeing from the Belmont meet, especially on the grass. But, again, that was Graham Motion and Christophe Clement were the surprising ones. 2 for 26 for Christophe Clement, 1 for 33 for Graham Motion.
Yeah, and also take a look at it now too, Gary Contessa. We talked about how he had a terrific 2018. He was 0 for 20 on the turf. I have to believe that you know, he had such a good 2018 meet that you know, he was gonna. He thought he'd probably have some more victories on the turf. I think that may be one angle that he wants to sort of validate in 2019. So take a look at Gary Contessa's horses on the turf, because I think the 0 for 20 last year is probably still burned in his brain, and he's going to want to redeem himself in 2019. So I think that's one trainer that I'll take a look at as far as on the turf goes. Also, the other ones that you talked about, Graham Motion that we talked about, Kieran McLaughlin, 1 for 9. That's a little bit of a shock to me. Mark Henning, 1 for 14. A little bit of a shock for me. But again, it's based off of a one-year sample. It's just, you know, it could have just happened the way that it did. And we'll see how 2019 goes. But, you know, taking a look at these trends definitely leads you in a different direction than you probably thought of when you first were thinking of it. So those are our thoughts on the trainers and the jockeys. I know you wanted to talk about the post position stuff because you have that over there. But sort of rattle off the stats, because it seems like the inside sort of rules the realm.
It has. And it has the last couple of years. So the 1, 2, 3, and 4 for sprints, the 1 was 13%, the 2 was 15%, the 3 was 7%, and the 4 was 16%. And it was kind of leaning towards that the entire way. The 1 with the distance in the route races was 17%, the exact same as the 2. The exact same starts, the exact same wins were the 1 and the 2. The 3 had 14%, but the 6 as well, the 6 on the route races had 14% in 140 starts. And then on the turf course, it's wide open there all the time. It's the turf course. You see the percentages a little bit more even. The 1 was 16%. The 2 and the 3 were 12%. The 4 was 13%. And then the 6 was 13% as well. But it's a lot more even on the turf course, and there's a lot more even amount of starts. Because you look at the sprint races, the you know, like the 9 through the 14, you don't really see a lot of those in the sprints. And same with some of those routes, the 8 and the 9 have lesser starts, obviously, than the 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the 1 and the 2 have had the best meet in the last couple of years, and we did see it in the spring-summer meet down in New York at Belmont. Should continue again here at Saratoga.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to dissect these post-position things because, you know, it really comes down to the quality of horse maybe more than it was the post-position, but there are some good stats. What do you think of the distance races where the middle tier sort of tails off as far as the percentage goes? But then you get the 10, 11, and 12 sort of shoot back up. I know they have small samples as far as starts goes, but is that something to take a look at? Or is that just a one-time, one-year thing where you think that it's going to sort of even out from there?
Well, I just think a lot of people don't like betting the outside because they have a wider trip, but that's not necessarily true. I think when you're in the middle, you have the hardest trip than being from the outside, because you got to deal with the horses from the outside that want to move in towards the rail, and then the horses on the inside that don't want to give up the rail position, so you kind of get sandwiched. So that's why I think you saw it last year with the stats, and you see it sometimes in some other tracks when it comes to route distances. I just think the outside horses want to get in, and the inside horses don't want to let them in, and then the 5, 6, 7, 8 are kind of stuck right in the middle of that.
Yeah, I think that definitely goes towards the 5.5 turf sprints, because when you're taking a look at those 5.5 turf sprints, if you do not have early speed and you draw the 1, 2, and 3 hole, you're just going to get shuffled back, because horses just tend to come over and you get shuffled back. That's just the way horse racing is. But if you're able to keep the position and you do have early speed and you're able to keep those horses wide, it becomes a huge advantage. So it really comes down to your running style and the fact where you're posted, because then that sort of dictates what you're going to be able to do. The stats tell you that the inside has done well, But if you have outside, if you're drawn outside, you have speed, the horse is inside. If you don't, that stat could absolutely change going into 2019. So really, just take a look at the way the race sets up, and then from there, try to sort of figure out what these post position numbers go in and factor into your handicapping, because they are going to draw some good signs, and it's definitely one way to take a look at your handicapping angles with these post position stats. So definitely something you want to look at going into the 2019 Saratoga meet. As far as some other things that we want to talk about, I know there's a sheet that you have here. I just want to rattle off some stats here from what you had talked about.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the state bred races. And obviously Saratoga, usually the final race at Saratoga is the state bred race. And there's always a couple in there. Mid-card, there usually is some state bred races. So from the trainer side, Linda Rice is winning 21% of her New York bred starts. And then it's followed by Jeremiah Rudy and Todd Pletcher. You would think Chad Brown is somewhere in the mix of that. He's 11th and only has, to date, 32 starts with the New York State bred. So if you see a New York State bred and you see Chad Brown, even if it's on the turf, you could potentially try to beat Chad in that spot, and you'll get a better price with a Linda, a Jeremiah, or a Rudy, who's had a lot more success. And I understand that they were there for Aqueduct, but still, some of those numbers are pretty impressive. And same with the jockeys with the state bred. Manny Franco has the most purse money, but Jose Lascano is winning 25% of his New York starts or New York state bred starts, and he does a lot of riding for Linda. He does a lot of riding for Jeremiah as well. And it's followed by Junior Alvarado, Manny Franco, Dylan Davis, and Joel Rosario. The Ortiz brothers, much like Chad, they're going to get a lot of attention. They were only on 13% of. They only were in the money 13% of the New York State bred mounts. So the state breds, they're always tough. They're always wide open races, especially the final races of the card. And that's just kind of something you can look towards. You know, it's not always a Chad Brown or a Todd Pletcher. There's some other big names in here that win a lot with the state breds that sometimes you can get a price home.
Absolutely. I just see, as you have a nice little stat here, the winning jockey trainer combos in 2019, Rudy Rodriguez, Luis Saez, 30%. Linda, Manny Franco, 24%. Steve Asmussen and Ricardo Santana Jr., 23%. You have, you know, Bill Mott, Junior Alvarado, 21%. Linda Rice, Jose Lascano, 31%. You have Linda Rice, Gerard Ortiz, 19%. And then you have Danny Gargan, Kendrick Armouche, 24%. And then Chad Brown, Gerard Ortiz Jr., 30%. Those are some good stats. Again, it really comes down to when we thought of, right, David Cohen, we automatically thought of Robertino Diodoro, right? Yeah. When we thought of Ricardo Santana Jr., even though he obviously rides for more, we thought of Steve Asmussen automatically. These trainer-jockey combos are serious when it comes to Saratoga.
Yeah, they are. And usually you'll see those jockeys with their guys during Saratoga, but they will get other mounts. And sometimes if you see one of those jockey-trainer combinations that win a ton, they're at a little bit of a price. Why not take a shot with them? Because they have had a lot of success together in 2019.
Yeah, there's just good information all around. We've kind of gone over what we thought of and what we were able to see on paper to kind of dissect not only good stats, but also some bad stats as well, some horses and jockeys and situational things to take a look at, maybe some things to kind of steer away from as far as jockey and trainers go. Any more thoughts as far as a final overall assessment of Saratoga? I mean, even just talk about your betting strategies. I know, you and I, besides being handicappers, you know, we like to fire each and every day. You know, what sort of trends, what sort of bet types do you like? You know, what is your sort of daily routine?
I'm a big multiple guy, so I'll bet both pick fives usually if I'm at the track. And then if I really like a horse, I'll make it the play of the day on the one cheater in the Times Union and put X amount of dollars on a win place there. So that'd be my one win place bet. And I'll make pick fives, pick fours around that one bet. But I'm a big multiple guy. I've always been a fan of the pick fours. And then, you know, the pick fives obviously pay better than the pick fours. So I've been playing those a lot. So it's all about structure when it comes to those multiples. As I said, I'll try to key one horse, make a win place bet on it, go very light in that race, and go deep around that race. Try to sneak a price home, and then my horse comes in at a decent price, and then get another price after that. That completely will blow the pool up. So it's all about structuring your bankroll. You don't need to go 6 by 6 by 6 by 6 every leg, because there are some corners you can cut, and there are some prices that you can get home and beat some chalk, especially at Saratoga in the pick fives and pick fours.
Yeah, I agree with you. As far as my pick five sequence goes, I like to single a horse you know, kind of spread everywhere else. I will say this, though, and I learned it from my mentor. The fact that, you know, when you single a horse in a pick five sequence, and, you know, for me, I like to put a win bet on that horse, too, so that it sort of pays for the ticket itself. So if I have that single, you know, I'm able to get to that point in my pick five sequence where he is the single and pretty much the ultimate piece to my play. If I'm able to get him home, I get some money back in that win bet, which then offsets the cost of the ticket, hopefully fully. Maybe I'm even up from there. But then I'm also alive in the pick five, so it's sort of a double win for me. Also, it's the handicapper's worst nightmare. When your single comes in and you get favorite around it, and it sort of fires you up and you're like, you know, I had the single, it was right, I didn't have any win money on him. And, you know, the pick five comes back, $62, you're sort of steaming at that point. So I like to put a win bet on there in that pick five. There are just some days where, you know, everybody's looking for the home run, right? And it just doesn't seem to happen. I will like to play some small ball with some doubles and some tries too. So, you know, doubles, try to hit the early double, see if I have it for $5, $10, $20 maybe. Sort of shifts me out of first gear into second. I'm off and running and I am already up for the day. So now I can kind of get loose, get ready to go instead of, you know, maybe getting a little too aggressive and then sort of chasing from there, which, you know, obviously tends to happen sometimes as well. So we'll see how it goes. You know, each and every person is different. You know, there's win, place, and show bets. There's exactas, there's tries, there's supers. You know, you ever have a super that you ever hit? I don't even know if you play supers on here. So
no, I've never been a big super guy. I'll play trifectas and you know, I'll key it around that one horse I have a win place bet on. And then I'm with you there. I think the double's a great bet. If you like a horse, you can go 2, 3, or 4 deep before that horse or after, depending on what race you like the horse. Load up $10 or $20. Your ticket's $40, $50, depending on how many you go deep. And usually the dollar double would come back, let's say, $20, $25. You got it 10 times, you're off to a good start on the day or in the middle of the day. So I think the double's a great bet as well, especially if you like a horse. Load up on the double and then on a win bet.
Yeah, and there are just some races that are conducive to it, right? Say you have, you know, the featured race of the day is completely wide open. There's a 12-horse field. And then you have the finale. We always know as a handicapper, the finale can be as wide open as can be. Maybe it's a $20,000 claimer or something like that. It's also another 10-horse field. You know, for me, a dollar double going 5 by 5, it's a $25 bet. But you're covered 5 deep, and you're covered 5 deep. You catch a couple of prices, 9 to 1s, you know, on both sides. It pays, you know, $120 for a buck. It costs you $25. You're up $95 at the end of the day. So, you know, it really comes down to the race, analyzing it, seeing what betting strategy is best for you, seeing what wagering type is best for you, and then sort of going from there. But again, Saratoga is such a really fun meet for us as handicappers because it's the ultimate goal to be able to beat Saratoga, to be able to win money, obviously enjoy it and all the beautiful scenery that it has. You know, we're on the backstretch all the time. Being, you know, near the 7-furlong pole is unbelievable. The backstretch is fantastic. You know, all the vendors, you know, Naira does a fantastic job with everything that they do up there. But also, you know, trying to make, you know, a little cash at the end of the day as well sort of stamps it as an awesome day.
Yeah, and the one thing you got to like about Saratoga is you always see these local connections that you root on. And they usually show up for Saratoga. And you always root for them, and you get a hometown win. It's great for everybody around in the capital region.
Yeah.
So it's just a little different than most Saratogas, and definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, and then as soon as you said that, I thought of Roddy Bellani. So
yeah.
We'll be rooting
yeah.
for all his horses when they're up at Saratoga as well. So see if he has a really good meet, and we wish him all the best here at Capital OTB. But that's going to wrap things up for us here with the Capital OTB Saratoga preview. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Gave away a lot of stats. Final thoughts before we leave?
Yeah, I just want to do a little prediction here and see if I could be right here. I think the winning jockey will be Javier Castellano. I think the trainer is going to be very tough to beat, Chad Brown, because of all the mounts he has. And I actually think the number 4 will have the best percentage out of all the post positions.
I'm going to go with my dark horse that I talked about at the beginning of the show. I'm going to go with Luis Saez.
I like it.
If we were, you know, you gave odds to where you thought, I think Luis would probably be 5, 6 to 1 maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have a ride somewhere around 2 to 1 to take the meet, or Javier around 2 to 1 as well. Jose would just be, you know, maybe a tick higher. You know, Manny would be there as well. Yeah, 5 to 2. And Luis, I'm going to take him at 5 to 1. If you gave me 5 to 1, I'd be sold.
Yeah,
but I think he's just been riding fantastic. And I think he's one to watch out for. He had 33 wins last year. He was 19 off of the leader, but again, I just think he's coming in with a lot of confidence in 2019. I'll put him on top. And then Chad Brown, like you said, it's just really tough to look past Chad. He just had such a big lead on everybody else. But, I mean, you have Todd, you have Rudy, you have Bill Mott, you have a bunch, Jimmy Jerkins, Brad Cox, who's been doing really well. Chad's going to get his wins on the turf. It's just, is he going to be able to get his wins on dirt as well? I'm not saying he is. I think he's going to be really, really tough to beat because, you know, he targets his horses. And not to say that every other trainer doesn't, but he really targets his horses for Saratoga. And I just think he's going to be too tough to beat for the training title. And then, you know, from there, it's just, trying to find out, maybe these smaller connections. Maybe not the most well-known jockeys, but they're going to get their wins too. You take a look at Eric Consell with six, Rajiv with four, Flojo with four wins as well, and it's just going to be a fun Saratoga. So we'll see how it turns out. But for myself and Sully Crotty, thanks for tuning in to the Capital OTB Saratoga Preview. We'll see you then.